regarding our giant slayer, I want to help you to destroy your giants. Because a lot of time we don't realize that giants has been described in different forms. Perhaps some of you need to know the abandonment and the rejection, or even unemployment, depression for that matter, marital crisis, divorces, bills that is coming in constantly, pornography and many other issues can be a real giant. For that matter, there is one serious giant. We call it fear. When you and I face a giant and you keep worrying, it won't make the problem go away. Am I right or not? You worry and it gets worse. By the way, there are a lot of things bigger than our lives. And we need to be very, very careful with that. In fact, psychologists have listed down 700 phobias. Can you imagine that? There are 700 phobias here in this world. Enough fears to keep you and I worrying all the time. I'm sure you're familiar with some of these fears, such as acrophobia, which is the fear of heights. Another one, which is probably some of you are going through, claustrophobia, the fear of closed spaces. Another one is agoraphobia, which is the fear of open spaces. Can you imagine that? And listen to this. How about this word? I'm going to pronounce it very slowly because it's a big, long word. It's arachibutyrophobia. What is that? The fear of getting peanut butter stuck to the root of your mouth. And I was just thinking, wow, these are just a few that we are just talking about, but there are 700 phobias. But I thought I'd add on into this scientific list. I call it Christian phobia. There are people who are afraid of becoming a Christian. Isn't it true? I just made up that Christian phobia stuff, but it's a real thing. People are afraid because they are afraid that they can't do the things that they want to do, because Christians apparently have some things in their life, in their standards, that say you mustn't do. So they are afraid to become a Christian on that basis. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know there are times that you and I cannot avoid some of these giants. But are you going to hide? Are you going to crawl and run away? There are some issues that we have, giants in our soul, in our life, that we need to destroy. In order to do that, we need to take a realistic check. Let us take a realistic check on the basis of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40 to 51. This particular passage speaks about David conquered Goliath. Amen? And this whole story, perhaps some of you have read them several times, and you probably would have gone through what we call the Sunday school stories. But this particular story allows me to absorb something that is so relevant for our lives. How did David conquered his giant? We need to take some realistic check before we talk about David having the ability and the power to conquer Goliath. So let me start off with this first fact. Let's look at the 1 Samuel 17 for this moment. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." But David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. As we see and visualize the picture of David conquering Goliath, there are some realistic checks that we need to take hold of. What are your disadvantages? What are your disadvantages? For a moment, let's look at this. I'm sure this is like David. However, let's imagine Goliath as this, which you can see a big contrast of no possibility for David, who looks like this, trying to fight with someone who looks like this. Can you imagine that with me? It is not possible. This is a realistic check. David is slender, beardless. No way he can actually fight with this great giant. He tried to wear Saul's armor, but unfortunately, he was not able to retain it. So he went to the brook and searched for five smooth stones. Now, I want you to imagine five smooth stones trying to destroy this giant. It is a ridiculous thing. This is what we call the realistic check. What about Goliath? Goliath towers above all the soldiers. Everyone knows he's about 2.972 meters tall, wearing 125 pounds or 56.7 kilograms of armor. Now he snorted at these Israelites as a predator. However, if you look at his entire armor, he has a 56-inch or 1.4 meter belt and 20-inch collar. His biceps, man, that is ridiculous. This is the size of Goliath. What is the advantage for David? It's impossible. Goliath demanded Israel. He says, come on, guys, send in your best men. Each time he taunted them, every time he stepped forward, Israelites will step backward. What advantage or advantages did David have against his giant? The giant brandished his sword, his blade, and he was ready to take the breath of Israel away. Goliath kept parading himself as an undefeated champion. As I was looking at this parade, how he defies the army of Israel, I want you to know such giant is also defying within your office work, within your school places, within areas, even in your own family, sometimes ready to dishonor you, ready to keep you silent. Undoubtedly, we do have giants in our land. We do have giants that are so unreasonable. We do have giants that are too huge and big in our own natural eyes to fight. They are so humongous that your own natural eye says, let's step back and not disturb him. What about giants at home, ready to split the family up? What about the giants in your soul, ready to tempt you into drugs and pornography and uncontrolled anger, manipulative personality, and many more? What about giants in our mind, ready to compromise at any cost and becoming vulnerable to irrational behavior, and more still, susceptible to depression? The giant is stalking us with fear, trying to influence you and I to give up our efforts. But I'm glad, as I read the Bible constantly, Joshua and Caleb have proven to me that they have conquered the giant's family. Therefore, the giants are conquerable. Listen carefully. The giants are conquerable. Yes, we have the disadvantages. Yes, we have the odds with us. But I'm glad that my God is with us. The Bible says, when He is with you, who can be against you? That is the truth. That is the word. Look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, having only 5 loaves and 2 fish. You don't have any advantage to feed the 5,000, excluding the women and children. No possibilities in our natural mind, in our own physical eyes. Yet at the same time, the Bible tells me, when you put the 5 loaves and 2 fish into the hands of God, and when Jesus lifted up and gave thanks, the Bible says He broke it and He gave to the disciples. Each time the disciples take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they were all broken. And when He took them, He kept giving to the 5,000. And when they have finished, they come back to Jesus. Apparently, the 5 loaves and 2 fish keep on multiplying in the hands of God. Brothers and sisters, our lives is in the hands of God. You may see as disadvantage, but when you put your life in the hands of God, it will become an advantage, and it will be to God be the glory. Brothers and sisters, we take a realistic check, but my God says, when I'm for you, who can be against you? The important thing is, God is for us. Somebody say, amen. Look at the second part. Another realistic check that we need to look into is, what did you see? What did you see? Goliath is very loud. Don't you think so? His voice could be very thunderous. He could be saying this to the people and said, come Israelites, come, send your best man to me. And each time when he shouted, Israelites would take one step back. You know something? The loudness gets your attention, don't you think so? And why did it get your attention? Because he wants you to see him. The size is conspicuous. It's so obvious. Each time when the loudness of the giant that is within our soul makes us think about the problem, make us think about the situation, make us think as though there is not much hope to deal with the situation. The size is conspicuous and the giant is loud in order for you to see the size. David, as a matter of fact, he was not known at all. He's such a skinny boy. No one talks about David, don't you think so? Even when Samuel came and anointed the brothers, he doesn't even know there was another one shepherding the flocks. The parents and the family don't even think that this youngest boy, David, will be eligible to become the future king of Israel. No one talks about David. As a matter of fact, his brother Eliab despised him. He said, what are you doing here? Why are you not tending the flock? Why are you in this camp? Don't waste your time. You know something, friends? I learned one beautiful lesson out of this. After seeing the entire story of David and Goliath, I realized that I do not need to be famous to fight against my giant. Somebody say amen. I do not need to be known in order to fight against my giant. Sometimes there are people who say, I need to be popular. I need to be somebody. We thought, until and unless we become popular, we can solve our problem. How many of you know there are not many names, popular names mentioned in New York Times that have done so much for many lives today? They were never recognized, especially in the mission field, but they have impacted villages and society in the third world country. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. You know something? Most of us today, normally, in natural sense, you will always look at your problem. The humongous issue may appear impossible for you to overcome. But David taught me one thing. I may see the giant, But I saw God confronting the giant. And I want to challenge you. Yes, the size is intimidating. Israelites only saw Goliath. Every time when Goliath come forth, they retreated because they saw the giant. They majored on Goliath. By the way, verse 16 tells me that this has continued on for 40 days. Remember, for 40 days, they were taunted by the giant. Goliath breathed out his threats and challenges. Some of us may be going through for the 40 days or the 40 months, not knowing what to do with this giant in front of them. By the very sight of Goliath, the armies of Israel were dismayed. They know this will be a dismal battle. They were paralyzed with fear. They do not know what to do. And besides, if you read carefully the Bible in verse 23, Goliath has now crossed the ravine at the base of the valley. What does it mean? It simply means the more you tolerate the giant, the more he will take over your territory. Listen carefully. The more you tolerate the giant in your soul, the more you tolerate the giant in your home, the more you tolerate all this, I can guarantee you, based on what the scripture says, the enemy will take over your territory. That's why a lot of people just do not know. Instead of being transformed for the glory of God, they retreated. They keep retreating because of the giant. And the more they retreated, the more they tolerate the giant, the more they say, it's okay, it's all right, not a big problem. Things should be okay. Australian startup say, no worries. No worries. By the time it comes, everybody worries. Because they major on the Goliath. But brothers and sisters, David majored on God. He saw God more than the giant. For 40 days, the army and King Saul were paralyzed with fear, and they were defeated. But the very first day when David came to the camp, he heard the taunting breath of Goliath, and he said these words very clearly. He said to the soldiers, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? Wow, this skinny guy was not afraid of the breath of Goliath. Yes, the breath of Goliath stinks. It stinks so much that the soldiers of the army of Israel retreated. But not for David. The very first day he walked in, he heard the word. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the army of God? He majored on God. Brothers and sisters, something that you need to learn, and I need to learn too. David has no hesitation to face his giant. Not because he was drunk, not because he was disillusioned, but because he has a vision of God. Listen one more time. David has no hesitation to face his giant, not because he has disillusioned or drunk, but simply because he has a vision of God. Look at all these men and women in the Bible. People like Nehemiah, he had a vision of God raising him up to build the wall of Jerusalem. Even though the opposition seems to be a terror against them, but he was not afraid. Look at Ruth going over to Bethlehem where women will be despised. Yet she says, your God will be my God. She followed the mother-in-law. She had a vision of the God that she has been living with in the family. Look at the person, Naaman's servant. He had a vision that his master Naaman will be healed from leprosy. People with vision are able to see the possibilities. Look at the Shunammite woman. She has a vision that a child will be raised up from the dead. Brothers and sisters, what did you see? What did you see in the midst of your problem? What did you see in the midst of your challenge? What David heard was the criticism of the brothers and the army of Israel, but he was not afraid. He saw God. He saw God's name being dishonored. He didn't see the giant only. He saw God's name being dishonored. Brothers and sisters, when you go to work, is the name of the Lord being dishonored? Will you stand up for the name of Jesus Christ? Will you stand further in this society, in this nation, to say that God is the living God? He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord of peace. He is the bread of life. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And I will stand on the conviction that my God is a living God. This is what you and I need to stand for. Is God's name being dishonored? Is the storm seems too strong to against you? Is the wave bellowing against your faith? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is also in the same boat with you. Would you cause him to stand and say it unto the wind and say, be still and stop? And the Bible tells me when he spoke against the wind and the wave, the storm and the wind stopped. I do not know about you, but my Christian life cannot live by the natural realm. I need to live my Christian life by the supernatural realm. And that's what we all need to do. I like what Psalms 20, verse 6 to 7 says. It says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But hey, we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Would somebody say amen? We will remember the name of our God. What did you see today? Did you see God on your side? Or did you see the giant taunting you? The last one, another realistic check after what you have seen. We need to ask the question, whose battle does it belong to? I like Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Turn around to your neighbor or your next door person and say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Say it with the faith in your heart. And you mean it what you say to the person. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Would you say an amen? Amen. Come on, say a bigger amen. Yeah, and he says, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You know, this is our heritage. The heritage is this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That is the heritage. David took his position to fight against his challenger. And I want you to know what happened. While he was taking his challenge against Goliath, behind there were these three groups of people. The brothers covered their eyes in fear, thinking that this is the most embarrassing moment of their lives, that these skinny, tiny brothers of theirs is going to get killed. King Saul, when he watched David going forth to challenge the Goliath, he was thinking to himself, this David, foolish young boy, is running towards his death. And what happened to Goliath? He was laughing his heart out, looking at David charging against him. Can you see that? This skinny boy trying to go against this Goliath? And Goliath was laughing his heart out with his head thrown back and forth. Ha! And while he was laughing, I could imagine myself, his helmet was lifted up, his forehead was exposed. And all of a sudden, David saw the target, and he seized the moment. He took out one smooth stone, and he put it onto his sling, and he slung it several times. And as he threw that sling, that stone right from the sling, straight right to the exposed forehead. I want you to know, I would consider this a great miracle. For one smooth stone to hit straight right to the forehead and cause this giant's eyes to cross in and his knees buckled and collapsed right down onto the ground like a big tad. Boom! And there was a sudden shock and silence from the Philistines that their champion fell to the ground. And the Israelites were also shocked and silent. And they were wondering, what is happening? And David, without any waste of time, ran straight right to Goliath, yanked his sword from the sheath, and he just lifted it up and slashed right to the head and broke his neck. And that was a permanent defeat for the Philistines. Brothers and sisters, I saw the victory, but I saw how David fought the victory. He says, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. David smiled, and as he was just standing there in victory, brothers and sisters, I realize one thing. You don't mess around with someone with the Spirit of God in their life. Would you say an amen? You don't mess around with someone who believes that the power of God is right in the Spirit of the Lord and is ready to conquer the giant in the powerful name of Jesus. And we need to remember and hold on with the faith that when you have the Spirit of God, there is no enemy greater than the living God. You and I must live in the supernatural realm. My question is today, how many of us would run towards our challenger and cut off the root issue? You know why I said that? I've seen a lot of people today duck behind the desk of work, crawl into the nightclub of distraction, and sadly, some people go right to the bed of a forbidden love, despairing themselves by hiding themselves in the cocoon of self-pity, and they are afraid to deal with the ramifications of the root problem. Most of the time, people fell into the trap of dealing with the ramification, dealing with the result of the root issue. No one wants to deal with the root issue. You know why? Because the root issue is very painful. They refuse to face the root problem. But I want you to know the real giant is the root problem. Today we have many programs, be it in the church or in the government. We have many programs to solve a lot of problems. They try to lengthen the youngsters' age in terms of driving. That is not the root issue. The root issue is change the attitude of driving. Change people's attitude in driving. Help these youngsters to realize the severity of driving without license. And we have problems trying to solve because of all these accidents. Therefore, the age must be stretched to 25. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is the attitude. I was just saying to one person, you can go for seminars and pay thousands of dollars trying to tell you how to be successful. Let me give you one simple lesson, free of charge. Don't worry about paying me, all right? It's just one simple word. It's called discipline. In any aspects of success, you don't need any other thing. You just need discipline. Are you with me? Am I saying something strange? Not, isn't it? You just need to know this one thing. The Bible tells me very clearly, we need discipline. And discipline will give you the edge to see success becomes possible. We don't need those kind of programs. We need to have the right attitude. That's what I see. People are not dealing with the root issue. That's why when you face the giant, will you say the battle belongs to the Lord? Are you looking at a giant with a God-saturated soul? How many of us magnify the living God by our proclamation? How many of us are lifting our hands and say, Lord, I'm here to worship you. Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Listen to me. When you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord, you magnify the Lord. Are you there? When you believe that the battle truly belongs to God, the name of Jesus will always be proclaimed. I realized this from the very stories of 12 spies that were sent over to the promised land and to explore them and look at the giants and look at the fruits, look at the evidences of God's blessing upon this land. It's running like as though with milk and honey. It's prospering. But when they came back, the report doesn't tell us that they were enjoying the beauty of the evidences. Instead, they said, but they were the Anakites. There were the Jebusites. There were the Amalekites. There were all these ites around. They were giants. The fortresses were huge. They were too strong. We cannot break in. But listen to what Joshua and Caleb said. Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. But the people said, we are not going up. I'd rather stay in Egypt. Why did you bring us here, Moses? Why do you bring us here to die? We have nowhere to go. The Anakites are too big. Notice what they saw. They saw the giant, but they don't realize the battle belongs to the Lord. Are you with me? I'll repeat. The battle belongs to the Lord. And this is the one thing that I want to encourage you. The reason why we magnify the giants is because we have lost the vision again. We have lost the vision of what God wants from you. I want to read to you Numbers chapter 14, verse 8 to 9. Joshua and Caleb spoke out very clearly and said these words. Listen, Numbers 14, verse 8 to 9. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Joshua and Caleb, notice he said three times, the Lord will give us this land. The Lord will lead us. The Lord is with us. Brothers and sisters, the reason why we never believe that the battle belongs to the Lord because we lost the vision of who God is. But David, if you notice and read the whole passage in 1 Samuel 17, he mentioned twice of Goliath, uncircumcised Philistine. But if you look further down, in verse 42 onwards, you will notice that he mentioned nine times about God. Are you there with me? He mentioned twice about the uncircumcised Philistine, but after that, he mentioned nine times about God. I'm concerned. If you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord, do you ponder about God's grace more than you ponder about your own guilt? If you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord, do you speak about God's blessings more than your personal complaints? I tell you what happened. The more we complain about certain things, we magnify that thing. And the more we magnify the thing, the magnification of that thing becomes bigger that you and I can't even see God anymore. If you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord, do you desire for God more than you are excused? I ask a lot of people in regards to their commitment to the Lord. I notice it's more excuses rather than desire. The sad part is, the more we give the excuses becomes bigger. And when it gets bigger, your desire for the Lord dwindles. Listen to this. This is the most logical, biblical stuff that we need to learn. The more we look at the negative gets bigger, and then your positivity will lose out. And that's why I want to encourage you today. As I saw David magnifying God, he says the battle belongs to the Lord. And he went straight right in. He filled his pocket with five stones. And brothers and sisters, when was the last time you filled your life with the living power of God's word? When was the last time? When was the last time you give yourself completely to the work of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you immersed yourself actively with God, that God become hardwired in your consciousness? When was the last time you bring someone to church, or even better, to Christ? Because every soul won is about a battle won. Jehoshaphat, he says, Lord, our eyes upon you. We do not know what to do now. When the Moabites and many others came against them, and he fell face down, and he said, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I pray today that when you believe that the battle belongs to God, let us magnify his name. Let us magnify his name. Judas saw Jesus as a conqueror over the Romans, but not the world. Jesus did not die for the Jews only. I'm glad for that. But he came to die for the sins of this world. If I were to proclaim that he died for the sins of this world, I can truly say the battle belongs to the Lord. The crowd only see Jesus as someone different, but they could not see Jesus as God's only begotten Son, special as a sacrificial lamb. If I can see him as God's only begotten Son, I can truly say the battle indeed belongs to the Lord. People today could only see Jesus as a religious figure, but they could not see him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and the Savior of this world. But if I believe that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of this world, I can truly say the battle belongs to the Lord. You know, one of the most beautiful things, the more you magnify him, the more you say the battle belongs to you. And ultimately, I want you to know what happened after Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17. The very defeat that David had, or victory over Goliath, was a small step towards his enthronement as the king of Israel. Listen one more time. This is very important. The very defeat and victory that David had over Goliath is just a small step towards the ascension or the enthronement of his kingship over Israel. Brothers and sisters, we need to start by defeating our Goliath. Because by defeating our Goliath, we are just taking one more step towards a greater success and victory in his kingdom. If God is able to make the miracle out of David, I am very sure he's able to make a miracle out of you. How many of you believe that God can make a miracle out of you? And when that thing happens, you are one more step towards the ascension of becoming what God wants you to become. Just one more step. But destroy your giant. Destroy your giant today. And I believe that you are ready to take one more step towards the enthronement of what you can become in the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.